إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما. أما بعد، قال شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب التوحيد: باب ما جاء في الرقى والتمائم. في الصحيح عن أبي بشير الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أنه كان مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره، فأرسل رسولا ألا يبقين في رقبة بعير قلادة من وتر أو قلادة إلا قطعت. والحديث أخرجه البخاري ومسلم وأبو داود رحمهم الله. شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى, and he mentioned this chapter number 8, ما جاء في الرقى والتمائم. Ruqa, this chapter is about the Ruqa incantation, talisman, and amulets. The Shaykh mentioned five narrations here. The first narration is the narration of Abu Bashir al-Ansari. Then the Shaykh is going to bring another narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abdullah ibn Ukaym, and Rawayfi ibn Thabit ibn Sakan, and also another text about Sa'id ibn Jubayr. Qala fi al-Sahihi, fi al-Sahihi an Abi Bashir al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, fi al-Sahihi an Abi Bashir radiyallahu anhu, annahu kana ma'a Rasulillahi صلى الله عليه وسلم في بعض أسفاره. نريد أبو بشير الأنصاري رضي الله عنه that he was in the company of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم on one of his journeys. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم sent a messenger, one of the companions, ordering, and the Prophet ﷺ, he gave an order, there shall not remain any necklace of bowstring or any other kind of necklace around the necks of camels except it is cut off, except it is cut off. رواه الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم. مناسبة الباب لكتاب التوحيد. First of all, the Shaykh حفظه الله giving us the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn al-Wahhab رحمه وتعالى has introduced this chapter in his kitab, كتاب التوحيد. قال أنه استمرار في ذكر الأشياء التي تخل بعقيدة التوحيد, تخل بعقيدة التوحيد من الرقى والتمائم الشركية. This chapter is a continuation to the one before it. This chapter is a continuation to the one that came before it. And in it, the Shaykh still mentioning, the things that impair Tawheed, things that are against and not a part of the sound creed that is based on Tawheed. Yes, person has to be upon Tawheed, pure Tawheed, but they should not mix Tawheed with other things from shirk. Somebody may say, yes, La ilaha illallah, I believe there is only one God. There's only one true God. And I pray for only Allah. First Ramadan for Allah. make Hajj for Allah. But then they do other things that are not from Tawheed. Now, person, as the Shaykh is still mentioning these things, such as the distama'in, these incantations, talismans, bracelets, amulets, that are part of shirk, wal'iyadu billah. When the author, Shaykh al-Islam, Muhammad al-Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, when he entitled his chapter, ما جاء في الرقى والتمأي من النهي عما لا يجوز منها من النهي. Subhanallah, sometimes we look at a title and it looks like is a regular title, but the ulama, subhanallah, what Allah has given them from understanding. Look, he says, what does it mean when he says chapter pertaining to ruqa, incantation, talisman and amulets? Sheikh, he says, no, this is not what the Sheikh didn't want us to understand just this. He said, actually, this is a chapter pertaining to the prohibition. What is prohibited from this talismans? What is prohibited from these talismans and amulets? Abu Bashir, هو صحابي شهد غزوة الخندق ومات بعد الستين.
أي صفحة؟
الصفحة 77. Abu Bashir is a companion of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He participated in the غزوة of Al-Khandaq, the battle of the ditch. And he died after the 60th year of the Hijrah. المعنى الإجمالي للحديث, the general explanation of this hadith, قال الشيخ صالح الفوزان حفظه الله في الملخص في شرح كتاب التوحيد, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث في بعض أسفاره من ينادي في الناس بإزالة القلائد التي في رقاب الإبل التي يراد بها دفع العين ودفع الآفات, لأن ذلك من الشرك الذي تجب إزالته. Now remember, in a previous class we mentioned, as the Shaykh mentioned, that the Arabs at that time, they used to do a lot of things. They are from shirk because they put their trust in those things and they depend on those objects to bring good or to repel harm. Now, in a previous class, in a previous chapter, the Shaykh mentioned those bracelets, talismans, rings that they used to put on themselves. Themselves, the human. With the purpose to bring them benefits or to repel harm or to cure them or not to get sick, and that's shirk. Shirk akbar, major shirk, wa'adhu billah. Now in this chapter, the Shaykh is mentioning there also is prohibited to put these things for the same purpose on their animals and on anything that they may use and benefit from. Such here the camels. The Arabs, they used to, camels are very important for them. So they used to put these talismans and incantations and amulets around their necks so to protect that camel from harm and the like. And they used to put it on their weapons as well, so to blast their weapons and the like. The Shaykh says, the Prophet ﷺ has sent in one of his journeys a person calling out, making this call, and this call is a call from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person sent by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, making this call, all people, let not any amulet that may be around the necks of camels, except that it should be cut off. Anyone that have any amulet, because the people, they were upon Jahiliyyah. They live in the time of pre-Islamic era. They were upon ignorance. The Prophet ﷺ was sent to teach them. He was not sent to rebuke them in the first. He was sent as a mercy to mankind. These are people don't know, so the Prophet ﷺ teach them first. So this caller, he's saying this, but the Prophet ﷺ told him to say this. He didn't take it upon himself. So anything that the people may be hanging around camels, next, to repel the ayn, the evil eye, or any type of harm, should be cut off. Why cut off? Because it is from shirk. And shirk has to be changed. Shirk has to be changed. Munasabatul hadith lil bab. Then the Shaykh, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, what is the reason why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala has introduced this hadith particularly as a proof in this chapter. قال من حيث إنه يدل على أن تقليد الإبل ونحوها الأوتار وما في معناها لدفع الآفات حرام وشرك لأنه من تعليق التمائم المحرمة. He says he brought it because it is a proof, this hadith is a proof, that hanging amulets and talismans and the like around the necks of the camels to repel harm is shirk. Is shirk and haram. Illegal. Why it is from hanging this talisman which is haram? ما يستفاد من الحديث. Now the last point in this hadith, the Shaykh gave us benefits from this hadith. Number one, أن تعليق الأوتار لدفع الآفات في حكم التمائم في التحريم. That hanging on talismans and amulets with the intentions to repel harm, if the people are doing it, with the reason to that, they believe that these talismans and amulets, they repel harm away. Then the ruling on that is haram. It is haram. Another benefit from this hadith also is izalatul munkar, that the evil has to be removed. The evil on the wrong door has to be, any wrongdoing has to be removed. But of course, we have to learn, as for us, we have to learn the proper way of removing the munkar. The munkar should not be removed by another munkar. The evil should not be removed by another evil. So therefore, sometimes certain people don't know these adabs and the etiquettes of commanding good and forbidden evil, and they create a big mess and create a greater problem. Instead of bringing solution, they even contribute to making it worse. It's like someone who wants to clean one dot on his nice looking white thobe, and he don't know how to do it, start scratching and make it even bigger. That's why you take it to the cleaners. Those who know, Likewise, we have to learn that there is adab and etiquette, and that's another topic, another subject to itself. Well, however, we benefit from this hadith that the evil has to be refuted, has to be removed, because the Prophet ﷺ sent a person to call the people to remove this evil, which is the greatest of evil, shirk. ثالثاً تبلغ الناس ما يصون عقيدتهم. That the people has to be conveyed all that which protects and preserves their belief and creed. That they have to receive the knowledge. The knowledge has to be conveyed to them. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he sent somebody to call out, to correct the people's belief in aqidah. And we learn from this that we shouldn't just learn and apply ourselves. That's a good thing, no doubt. But we should convey this knowledge to others, especially those whom we may know they are involved with things like that. This we study in this chapter. You have your families, people you lived around, people you came across to, and then you try your best. You try your best to convey to them. Just convey. If Allah wants good for certain people, they will act upon it. Certain people just don't know, actually. Nobody told them this is haram. Actually, certain people do things and think that this is from the deen. This bid'ah and this shirkiyat, they grow upon these things in a manner that they think this is the deen, that's Islam. But Islam is what Allah says, what His Messenger says, that's Islam. Not what certain people come up with. Not the opinions, like Imam Al-Barbahari, rahmatullah, he has in the point number 8, if I'm not mistaken, in his book, he mentioned, وَهَذَا الدِّينَ إِنَّمَا جَاءَنَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يُعْرَضُ عَلَىٰ عُقُولِ النَّاسِ وَعَرَائِهِمْ. He said, this religion, it came to us only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَعِلْمُهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَعِنْدَ رَسُولِهِ صَلَىٰهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The knowledge of this religion is with Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is not left, this religion of Islam is not left for the intellect of man nor for their opinions. Check it, it's very important. That's, I think, is the point number 8 in Sharh al-Barbahari, Sharh al-Sunnah Imam al-Barbahari. قال شيخ الإسلام محمد عبد الوهاب رحمه الله وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الرقى والتمائم والتولة شرك رواه أحمد وأبو داود. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِنَّ الرُّقَى وَالتَّمَائِمَ وَالتِّوَلَةَ شِرْكٌ. الرُّقَى, التَّمَائِم, and التِّوَلَة are all acts of shirk. Are all acts of shirk. المعنى الإجمالي لهذا الحديث, the general explanation and meaning of this hadith, أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يخبر أن استعمال هذه الأشياء لقصد دفع المضار وجلب المصالح من عند غير الله شرك بالله. لأنه لا يملك دفع الضر وجلب الخير إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهذا الخبر معناه النهي عن هذا الفعل. Says the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is informing us that using these things, رقى, تمائم, تيولا, incantations, talismans and the like, with the purpose to whether to repel harm, believing that these things will repel harm or bring benefits, is shirk, وليعوذ بالله. Shirk, associating partners with Allah. Because now they believe in that these things will bring benefits, Allah brings benefits. لأنه لا يملك دفع الضر وجلب الخير إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى. No one has the ability nor has the right to be looked at that he repel harm and bring benefit except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh says we benefit from this is that it is prohibited to do such things. It is prohibited to have such belief that these things and these objects, they repel harm or they bring benefit. مناسبة الحديث للباب أن فيه بيان أن استعمال هذه الأشياء المذكورة شرك يخل بالتوحيد. Why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab رحمه تعالى choose this narration in this chapter, in this book, Kitab al-Tawheed? Because this hadith tells us clearly that the use of such things mentioned in this hadith is shirk. Is shirk. And shirk impairs tawheed. A person should keep his tawheed sound, pure. Anything that might tarnish the tawheed, decrease it, some things actually nullify it, وَلَعَيَدَ بِاللَّهِ. ما يستفاد من الحديث, some of the benefits from this hadith, أولا الحث على صيانة العقيدة عما يخل بها وإن كان يتعاطاه كثير من الناس. This hadith incites us to put forth efforts, of course based on knowledge and wisdom, to try our best to protect the aqeedah, the belief, from anything that may impair it, even if that thing is practiced by many people. Because this is a shubha from the shubuhat, a doubtful matter, that certain people, because of their ignorance, not learning, and therefore you see from this the superiority of knowledge. Certain people, they just say, hey, I'm just one of the people. If they say to themselves, I don't think all of these millions are wrong. If somebody grow up in an area, whether it's a village, tribe, town, sometimes a whole country, upon shirk, upon these things. And he will like, listen, man, all these people going to be wrong? I don't think so. Come on. You the only one right amongst all these guys? No. Here the Shaykh says, protecting the aqeedah, make sure that your aqeedah is sound, pure. Gotta do this. You gotta continue to protect and preserve your aqeedah, check it. It has to be the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Even if many people are doing something else. Number two, تحريم استعمال هذه الأشياء المذكورة في الحديث. The use of these things mentioned in this hadith is haram. It's haram. It's not permissible. Number three, أن هذه الثلاثة المذكورة شرك من غير استثناء. That these three things mentioned in the hadith are shirk. There is no exception in here. All of them mentioned are shirk. Then Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, he gave a brief definition to those things he mentioned, tama'im. قال التمائم شيء يعلق على الأولاد من العين. Because he says in the hadith, in the ruqa wa tama'im wa tiwala. He says, now he's going to give a definition, what are these? Ruqa, tama'im, tiwala. He started by tama'im. Even though in the hadith the order is different, but mashallah. قال التمائم شيء يعلق على الأولاد من العين لكن إذا كان المعلق من القرآن فرخص فيه بعض السلف وبعضهم لم يرخص فيه ويجعله من المنهي عنه منه ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. He says, as for tama'im that are mentioned in this hadith, is the act of putting an amulet around the necks of children to save them from the effects of evil eye. Some parents or grandparents, they put some amulets around the necks of children and they believe that that amulet will keep those children away from the evil eye or keep the evil eye away from them. Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab rahimahu ta'ala says, if the amulet contains the verses of the Qur'an, they write some verses in those and then put them around the neck. If the amulet contains the verses of the Qur'an or the names of Allah or His attributes, then it is allowed by some scholars, ancestors, and disallowed by some. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was among those who disapprove it. He's not with for that. And in here, inshallah, later on, there is a details and there is an answer to a question one of our brother asked last class, which I shared with him last class after the class, alhamdulillah. والرقى هي التي تسمى العزائم وخص منه الدليل ما خلى من الشرك فقد رخص فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من العين والحمى. والحمى هو السم العقربي وشبهها وشبهها. As for الرقى or عزائم, also has another name called عزائم, is the act of reciting incantations, charms, etc. Those are allowed in which there is no trace of shirk. Like in our term these days, ruqya. This brother need ruqya. So it is permissible as long as it is free of shirk, is not mixed with shirk. The Prophet Muhammad has permitted it in case of being bitten by poisonous insects like scorpions and the like, or disturbed under the effects of an evil eye. Person can use this ruqya by reciting the Quran, saying supplications that the Prophet ﷺ taught us. Wattiwala, because in the hadith mentioned three things: al-ruqa, al-tama'im, al-tiwala. Al-tiwala shay'un yasna'unahu yaz'umuna annahu yuhabbibu al-mar'ata ila zawjiha wal-rajula ila mra'atihi. Atiwala, bewitchment, is something done by those who claim they can cause a woman to be more beloved by her husband, or vice versa. So something they say, listen man, if as long as the woman have this with her, her husband is in. That's it. She's beloved. He love her and he love and the like things. They do it for the man too. Sheikh Fawzan, he He gave a little further explanation. He says, so these are things, for example, tamaim, talismans and amulets that is hanged around the necks of children. They write them, okay, and they put them in this white or black string or whatever, and they put them around the necks of children to repel the evil eye and the like. As for azaim, is ayat. هي آياتنا القرآن تقرأ على دوي العهاد أو تقرأ في ماء ويسقاه المريض. He said this azaim is some verses of the Quran that is recited on some people who are sick. People are going through some hardship and sick. Or some ayats that are recited on water. Take a water, put it in a container, they recite these ayahs in that water and give it to the sick person to drink. Or those ayahs may be written on a plate. Written on a plate or other utensil, and therefore it is washed by water so that those ayahs are dissolved with water or something else, and to be given to the sick person to drink. When the Sheikh mentioned that this is okay as long as it is free from shirk, قال أي الاستعانة بغير الله بأن كانت بأسماء الله وصفاته وآياته وأسراره. That certain people, now certain people, in this, when the people doing this, they should not seek help with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Sarah al-Fawzan, حفظه الله, says وحاصل ما ذكره المصنف رحمه الله في حكم هذه الأشياء المذكورة ميل. Now he's going to give us a summary on what the Musannif, the author, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah ta'ala, said about these things. He said, here is a summary of what he said about these things. Meaning ruqya and tamaim and tiwala. قال الرقية تنقسم إلى قسمين. قسم مشروع وقسم ممنوع. As for ruqya, incantation, it is of two groups, two types. A type that is legislated and a type that is prohibited. So there is a type of ruqya that is permissible, while there is a type of ruqya that is prohibited. فَالْمَشْرُوعُ مِنْهَا مَا خَلَ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ والممنوع ما كان فيه شرك. How we know the difference? The Shaykh, he tells us. He says, that which is permissible from ruqya, it is that ruqya that is free from shirk. And what prohibited from it is that which contains shirk. That which contains shirk. Also the mashayikh, our ulama, they mention other things that if they are performed, alhamdulillah, that the ruqya may be permissible, but just the way it is done or it is conducted, it may become prohibited as well. Like Shaykh Rabi, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he was asked about this man. Ya Shaykh, this man is a good man, mashallah. Let me say it the right way, inshallah ta'ala. They asked the Shaykh, this man who does ruqya on people, but when he comes to woman, he be with the woman alone and put his hand on her head and this and that. The Shaykh says, no, he shouldn't do that. not permissible for him to be alone with a woman that he has no business to be with, allowing to put his hands on some parts of her body. لا. والتمائم تنقسم إلى قسمين كذلك. The Sheikh says, تمائم also has two types. قسم ممنوع بالإجماع وهو ما كان يشتمل على الشرك. Now one type is prohibited, and there is a consensus of the scholars on this one. It's prohibited. There is a total agreement on its prohibition. What is that? That which is contains shirk. Any tama'im that contains shirk. Any talismans or amulets that contain shirk is prohibited. They are prohibited. وقسم مختلف فيه وهو ما كان من القرآن. Now if there is a talisman revive shirk, some crazy stuff that they write there, يَعْدُ بِاللَّهِ, mix Qur'an with statements from the jinn, that's shirk. That's haram. That's prohibited. Now if those talismans that they put around the children and stuff is from Qur'an, purely from Qur'an, ayats from the Qur'an, then there is a difference of opinions of the scholars, among the scholars. قِيلَ إِنَّهُ جَائِزُ وَقِيلَ إِنَّهُ مَمْنُوعُ. The Sheikh Salah al-Fawzani says, it is says that it is permissible, and it is says that it is not permissible. So some scholars' opinions that it is permissible, some they says it's not. Now we're talking about the using of the ayats of the Qur'an, writing them, okay, in the way that is explained. So now, a group of the scholars, they said it's permissible to do that. Another group, they say it's not permissible to do that. Then the Shaykh al-Fawzani says, Hafidhahullah, وَالصَّحِيحُ أَنَّهُ مَمْنُوعُ سَدَّ لِلْدَّرِيعَ وَسِيَانَ الْقُرْآنِ. He says, but however, the correct opinion that even using the Qur'an like that is not permissible. Is not permissible to shut the door, you know, for evil. And to preserve the Qur'an. Because some people, if they start doing it like that, so today they write in the Qur'an, tomorrow they write something else. So now they says, we cut it. And the people, because it is, by the time people, they're going to be just looking at that object. They're not going to say, what's in it? No, this is, it's all look the same. Okay? So he says to cut off the door on the way to evil. والتولة ممنوعة من غير خلاف لأنها نوع من السحر. As for تولة is prohibited without any difference of opinions. Why? Because it's a type of magic. Doing something so that the woman be in love with that man. Men, they have to earn that love, right or wrong, by being dutiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by being obedient to Allah, I mean, being obedient to Allah, try their best to fulfill their obligations before they ask for their rights, to treat those women kindly, following the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِ. The best of you are those who are best to their wives. A man doesn't go on to a sorcerer and say, listen, man, come up with something for me, man. I want this woman to love me forever. Yes, that woman can love you. Inshallah ta'ala, if you love her for the sake of Allah, she treats her kindly with dignity in accordance to what is prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for doing things like this, It is a type of magic and is haram. It reminds me, I was in a class, one of those classes, maybe after Fajr, maybe, yeah, because usually Sheikh Abdul Razzaq Sal Abad, Hafidahullah Ta'ala, he gave classes in the same chair of his father. And his father, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Hafidahullah, and this is in the Prophet's Masjid. In the Prophet's Masjid, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these chairs, like big chairs, not like this one. This, my chair is comfortable, Alhamdulillah. You know, but these are big chairs, wooden, nice. You may see them. Sometimes, you know, you see if they show clips, you know, of the Masjid of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you may see those big chairs. Anyway, that chair, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad has chair. He always go there. So that the people get used to, that's where he is. But he gave class between Maghrib and Isha. His son Abdul Razzaq, Hafidahullah, he, Hafidahum Allah, his father, he will give the classes in the same, usually in the same chair, but after Fajr, and sometimes after Asr. And after Asr, sometimes he moves to another place. Anyway, he was talking about things like this. And a person, because in the end, they read the question, because people write questions and send them in the front. And the mashayikh, jazakumullah khairan, they try their best to answer all the questions, if not most of them. And one of the questions was, ya shaykh, do you know of any dua, anything that if I say it, make my wife love me and me love her and we have a beautiful life? Sheikh smiled and he says, if you know one, I can use it too. He said, if you know one authentic sound, I can use it too. But then, however, then he says, what brings harmony in the household, what brings love, peace, tranquility, serenity in the household is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, the man is obedient to Allah, righteous, mindful of the deen. When he makes mistakes, he tries to correct them immediately and repent. Try to find solutions, not to let it drag. Some people out of arrogance or whatever, I don't know, maybe not out of arrogance, some people out of ignorance. Some people because they always want to do it their way. My way may not be always right. That's why the only way that is right is the way that Allah has legislated for us. We make mistakes, all of us. So if we know how to fix those mistakes, let's go, let's do it now. Don't delay until tomorrow. But if we don't know, we should leave it alone and ask those who know. Same way, some leaks in your house, you can fix them yourself. You can change a light bulb. But you're not an electrician, you've been digging in the walls and you want to connect some wires. You may burn everything. That's what happens sometimes. Yes, sometimes when a disagreement takes place between a husband and a wife, mashallah, they can take care of it themselves. And that's the best way, by the way. So nobody be in their business. No. If they can leave people out of their business, that's the best, actually, with dua. Because if you get people involved, now you have to deal with that. But sometimes, if you don't know how to deal with it, then you have to get somebody involved, but you need to go to the right people. Don't just come and talk to everybody in a masjid, in a marketplace. Some people, they just keep talking. You want to choose somebody who is known, alhamdulillah, with their dignity, with their wisdom, have knowledge. There's nothing better than the ulama. But if you can't find the ulama or you're far away, go to somebody who will connect you with the ulama. So anyway, Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, he says, there are certain things, alhamdulillah, for this religion of Islam. We have solutions for everything. There is not one thing you say, and just like that, your wife, she's going to forget all the problems. Snap of a finger like this. No, it doesn't work like that. You got to work for it. Patience. Be able to forgive. Some people don't even want to forgive. Some people don't even want to forget. Now, you don't forget. You're married to a human being, not to an angel. She get mad. Especially the women. And their menses, they change. Some of them is difficult for them. They become very, unstable. And then after a couple of days, they like want to smile and everything. And some men, they don't get it. Some us, like me, I'm a man. And you're my brothers. I'm talking about myself first. We don't get it. I'm like, after a couple of days, it's like, now you want to laugh. What? Playing games. No, she's not playing games. She was hurt earlier. She was somebody else earlier. Those menses and stuff have an impact on her. Now, alhamdulillah, that stuff is gone. Now she came back to her natural thing. So a man who knows these things, as soon as the woman that she always nice to him, kind, now she's acting up, the first thing should come to his mind, is that moment of the, if that time of the month, right, Abdullah?
No.
Oh, it's the 17th. A man should know these things. A man lived with his wife for 10 years, still don't know her cycle. Subhanallah. Now you need to know the cycle, because when that cycle came, it changed. She changed her attitude. She became grumpy, moody. She got attitude. Nothing against you, brother. But that will help you to give her some room to take it. Because you know, this happens every month, man. Where you've been? You know that like a day later she's going to come and give you a hug again, and she's okay, she's smiling. MashaAllah. These things help. Right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the best.
Ameen.
Amongst the best.
Ameen.
And this is what makes us the best. Following the text in the Quran and the Sunnah that tells us how to be the best. Not to create and to invent ways. Oh, khayrukum. Look, it's clear. Khayrukum. Khayrukum li ahli. The best of you are those who are best to their wives and their families. خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. The best of you, those who learn Quran and teach it to others. And there is other texts. They don't come to my mind at this moment. People, they have different way to be the best. Now, if he always speak loud and slam doors and people are afraid of him. That's how you're going to be amongst the best. Don't lie to you. This is how we're going to be amongst the best. May Allah protect us, ya ikhwan.
Ameen.
May Allah help us to change many ways amongst ourselves. Ameen. We're going to stop here, inshaAllah ta'ala. We will continue the next three texts and narrations, inshaAllah ta'ala. The narration of Abdullah ibn Ukaym. And also Rawayfa, and also Sa'id ibn Jubayr. The statement of Sa'id ibn Jubayr, Rahimahullah. Subhanakallah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan, barakallahu fikum.